Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is kind of an apocryphal saying that's attributed to Martin Luther, although no one knows for sure if he said it. But supposedly, somebody asked him, what would you do if you knew that the world was going to end tomorrow? Do you know what his answer was? Plant an apple tree. Plant an apple tree. Very astounding. Because if we knew that the world was going to end tomorrow, I can almost guarantee you that what we would do is run over to King Supers, raid the shelves of all the canned goods, then we'd all line up to get gas until that ran out, and then we'd run over to the gun store and get as much ammunition as we could find, board up our windows and our doors, and then hunker down in our basements and wait for the end, right? My dad used to joke that because of that kind of scenario, you should always invest in precious metals. He said, gold, silver, and ammunition. But that's not what our Lord Jesus says. It's not what the Apostle Paul admonishes us to do. Because fear does not come from God. Fear comes straight out of the pit of hell. And fear drives people to despair and craziness. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and of self-control. Governments around the world, the media, both on the political right and left, they try to use fear to control us. And so if your news source is making you fearful or drives you to hatred of other people, I encourage you, just turn it off. Because the gospel is good news. And that's what Jesus has for us. Do not be terrified, Jesus says. For these things must first take place. But the end will not be at once. The people of God are not afraid of the end of the world. None of the nightmare scenarios that scientists or Hollywood or preachers have conjured up for us. We also don't look forward to the world to the end of the world with morbid delight. You know, we're not vultures waiting for the bodies to pile up. No, we go about our business. We live out our faith to the best of our abilities, carrying out our vocations, the callings that God lays on our lives to love and to serve our neighbors. And even though Jesus does mention some disturbing signs like wars and false messiahs, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, persecution, nevertheless, he tells us, when these things begin to take place, straighten up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Don't be afraid. Straighten up. Raise your head. It actually sounds a little bit like the message of the old REM song. It's the end of the world as we know it, but I feel fine. Better than fine, actually. As Christians, we can look with hope and with joy, with joyful expectation. Remember what I talked about last week. About what we have to look forward to. And that's why Jesus' words in our gospel are full of hope. He says, what are we going to see when we lift up our eyes and our heads? We're going to see the Son of Man. We're going to see Jesus coming in the clouds with power and with glory. And that is something to look forward to, literally and figuratively. When I was a teenager, I used to listen to a lot of AM Christian radio. AM Christian radio, not like K-Love and Way FM. I mean like the Christian talk shows and like the weird prophecy shows that only got weirder as the night got longer. This was kind of my go-to programming when I was delivering pizzas for my parents. And on many of those radio programs, it seemed like maybe they took a little too literally the old suggestion of Karl Barth that preachers should have the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. Because some of those guys, all they did was read Revelation and Daniel through the lens of the headlines. And I remember how, for example, one guy, Irvin Baxter, have any of you ever heard of him? You're better off for it. Well, Irvin Baxter was the leader of a ministry called End Time Ministries. And, you know, he was just obsessed with Saddam Hussein because he thought that the modern nation state of Iraq is the Babylon of biblical prophecy. And he also, you know, he had his way of finding Russia and China and the United States in the Bible, a lot like Hal Lindsey. You guys know Hal Lindsey, right? 1970s, late great Planet Earth. I mean, some of you were alive then. And so any time you can imagine that something would happen in Israel, like the start of an intifada or, you know, a bombing of a settlement in the West Bank or a peace agreement or anything like that, he would just have a heyday. He'd be like, this is it, guys. This is the end. Armageddon is coming. I subscribed to his magazine well into my college years at Concordia, and I relied on him too heavily as a source for one of my term papers in the literature of the Old Testament, and I got a very bad grade. You see, Lutherans are not millennialists. And as recently as 2020, Pastor Baxter was certain that the COVID pandemic was going to trigger Armageddon. Ironically, he died of COVID a few weeks after that, and so I guess he'll never find out. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. We shouldn't get freaked out and alarmed by the news of the day. And we shouldn't interpret every astronomical phenomenon and every natural disaster as a sign that the world is going to end tomorrow. I used to be that guy. I drank the Kool-Aid. I didn't just take a sip either. I drained the whole jug. But thanks be to God, and I literally mean thanks be to God, I'm not that guy anymore. Because Jesus tells us not to be afraid. When these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise your head, for your redemption is drawing near. Our salvation does not rest upon the idea of the so-called rapture, which I believe is actually a misunderstanding of the scriptural teaching on the resurrection on the last day. You know, we don't have to worry about getting left behind. We don't have to worry about whether or not the Great Tribulation is pre-trib or post-trib. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, good. Because Jesus says not to worry about it. Of course the end is near. It always has been. Ever since Jesus rose from the dead, we have been living in the last days. Hebrews 1. In many and various ways, God spoke to our fathers of old through the prophets. But now in these last days, see, we're already in them. Now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Four times in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, I am coming soon. I'm coming soon. And then in chapter 22, I am coming very soon. Now, we've been waiting for almost 2,000 years. So obviously, his definition of soon is not the same as mine. And I imagine that sometimes we in the church are kind of like my kids on one of our 2,000-mile national park road trips, where they're constantly saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. When will we be there? We'll let you know. Just take a nap. We're not there yet, but we could be tomorrow or next week or 1,000 years from now. We just don't know. But as St. Peter writes in the New Testament, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Maybe it seems slow to us, but he's not slow. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, but is patient toward you, so that all, desiring that all should reach repentance and that none should perish. See, God is patient with us. The reason for Christ's apparent delay is not because he's not coming back, but it's because he wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready by faith to see his coming with joy and not with dread. And the only way to be ready for that is to trust in Jesus, that he is our Savior, that the crucified and risen Lord is the one who comes with healing in his wings. He's full of grace and truth. And he is the only one who will stand by you without fail in time of trial or persecution. He's the only one who will stand up for you on Judgment Day. And until that day, what should we do? Well, we should be busy taking care of creation, carrying out our vocation, caring for our neighbors. And instead of worrying about the end of the world, take up the task at hand and do the work that God has called you to do. As Paul says in our epistle, brothers, sisters, do not grow weary in doing good. Instead of busy bodies, get busy. Why? So we can do enough good works to gain admittance to heaven? No, of course not. Christ has already gained us admittance by the favor that God has shown him on our behalf because of his death and resurrection. Luther has another saying, God doesn't need your good works, but your neighbor does. And until the end of the world, God is going to keep on giving us needy neighbors for us to love and to serve. And you know, all those earthquakes and famines and pestilences and wars that Jesus mentions, those create opportunities for us to love and serve our neighbors. And so, if you actually think about it, planting an apple tree sounds like a very sensible thing to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. I invite you to stand as we share our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, which is on page 10 in the bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We gather our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. And if you have not already filled out the attendance card in the red pew folder, please do take a moment to do that now.